you coming back in here with dirty jerseys. I want to see you coming back in here with bloodstained jerseys.
Look at anybody go and sit and have a pint with those boys after that.
And the referee is looking around and acting as Mickey.
Tell the children to play tennis or something.
If they want to play tennis, go and play tennis.
Hello, how's tricks? Welcome to the Three Man Weave the Balls of the EGA podcast. You're listening to a marathon Guess the Spreads podcast because we've got 18 games to go through. We heard all your grievances from the last week's show, and in response to that, we've kicked Mark Farley out. We've banned Cavan Talk, not really, because we're going to have to play Guess the Spreads for that game. But we're welcoming back PJ Brown. PJ, how's the form?
Good to be here, Marth. Looking for my first win in Guess the Spreads today, which is it's going to be hopefully a big moment for me.
You're taking on the current champion, Mick McCarthy. How's tricks?
Not bad, Morris. You know, I've just like, you know, I waited a long time for that win last week, and I'm not going to give it up easily. I've doubled down in training this week, and you know, I've done everything except check the spreads on one of the betting websites.
your GAA cliches were quite poor there, PJ. Like, you weren't just focusing on the next game, taking it each day as it comes. You were all up, balls out. We're looking to win this.
I'm sure this is the day. that he's taking as it comes.
Today is the only day in my view, Mark. I might not get on this podcast again. So
you have to take their chances when they come.
Yeah,
which exactly. Is the cliche of choice for Ken McGrath when he's on the live Sunday game. He says, if you want to listen out for that. Ken, actually, I have to say, he was on the doubleheader last Sunday. I think he's actually very good.
Yeah.
He was one of the better performers so far this season. But he says, you have to take the chances when they come all the time.
The co-commentator is an interesting one because they're like the main commentator. You just wanted to tell you what's happening in the game, and oftentimes, especially on radio, they don't even do that. They don't tell you what's happening in the game. But the co-commentator, you want them to tell you like who's matching up with who, what styles they're playing, a bit more kind of tactical insight. And Ken seems like somebody who's that way inclined anyway. And in that way, he's nearly even better as a co-commentator, like Dygan is, as opposed to being a pundit, which he is good at in anyway. But somebody like Jack Drell, who kind of got a big spread, is good to kind of take that relaxed approach as a pundit. Whereas I think that sometimes you want your co-commentator to give you that kind of in the moment insight.
In the moment, that's exactly it, isn't it? That you're able to kind of, you know, the game that you can kind of just sum it up immediately, but you don't necessarily need the kind of the 20 minutes to go and get all your clips together or whatever.
Exactly.
I haven't heard Ken do co-com though. I think he'd be good. I'm actually really enjoying. Brendan Cummins seems to have a bigger role. Maybe it's because there's two games on every weekend, and we talked enough about that on Monday to get into it this week. But Cummins definitely seems to have a bigger role this year, and I think he's definitely
going into
it.
Yeah.
He's I think he does give a good insight of the game while you're watching it live. Like,
we'll start with the least important game of the weekend, actually, which is, we're going to go with hurling first, right? And we're going to start with Cork and Waterford. We're going to have to be quick about this one. A game that doesn't really mean much to anybody. Cork at home, obviously, but Waterford essentially just playing for pride. Mick, I'm going to ask you to go first because you're the current champ.
Okay. Saturday night, live on Sky Sports, Páirc Uí Chaoimh.
Isn't it weird that they can't change away from that game?
I think it's unfair on them almost. It's like, that's the perfect game for them to pick.
You would have said, like, you could have picked any game in the Munster Championship at the start of the year and it was going to be brilliant. But yeah, it turned out this is going to be, it's pretty much decided already, I guess.
I know. And the fact that, like, it's, you know, RT have the choice next week to pick a game because when they're on the same time. But, you know, they got the one team who aren't playing in the last week.
Yeah.
Who are, and they're already out. It's just, it's really unfortunate. I think it's unfair that they can't change it, but that's the deals that they make. Cork have to be, you would say, heavy favourites. Cork do still need to go out and win. And given the way Waterford have played in the last couple of weeks, I'd have to think it's at least Cork minus six.
PJ?
Cork rumours that Waterford are down tools, but I expect they're probably going to have one last kick. Like, I think this game last year that Waterford were pretty much out and Cork only took the lead in like the 69th minute.
Patrick Horgan at the very end,
And that was in Thurles or somewhere, wasn't it? Or Limerick, yeah.
Yeah, you know, slightly lower to make, going to go minus five.
It's minus eight, lads.
Whoa. Wow.
If that comes to fruition, right, just really quick aside, a yes or no question. If that comes to fruition, is that the definitive proof that if Waterford are beaten by Cork by 8 points, given the ability they have, is that the definitive proof about all the rumours we've heard this week?
Pretty much, yeah. They've down tools. Yeah.
Depending on how, I don't think the scoreline is going to be.
You think it's the performance,
You're going to know by watching the game. And, you know, it is live on TV, so if you're looking for some intrigue, maybe it is to see whether Waterford have down tools or not.
Limerick and Clare, this can be a really interesting game. I can't wait to see how Clare decide to match these kind of big bodybuilders that Limerick have around the middle of the park. Like, whatever they do, this is going to be such a huge game for Brown, Duggan, Tony Kelly as well, because they're going to have to try and match up against Dan Morrissey, Declan Hannan, Paddy O'Loughlin. Obviously in midfield now you've got O'Donoghue, who looks like an absolute stormer. Gareth Hegarty coming out further out the field seems to work really well there. Like, for that kind of, these could be like season defining games for those kind of key players in that area of the field anyway.
Yeah, simple enough thing for Clare. I think they beat Limerick by 11 points last year in Ennis. I was at that game. Clare were just seemed to have the perfect answer to what Limerick were doing. Limerick, only game they lost, went on and won the All-Ireland, winning their next four games after it. You know, Clare will believe they can win this game, and like, it's a very simple make or break equation. If they don't win it, they're as good as gone. Points difference is disaster after what happened with Waterford and what happened with the week at the weekend against Tipperary. They're as good as gone if they don't win, and you know, we'll see what they're made of. Both the players, like, I made a thing on Sunday about, like, you know, the everything can't be blamed on management all the time. Players have to take responsibility in regards to Waterford. It's the same thing with Clare. Clare have had a kind of a number of chances at this stage. I definitely think it's the last hurrah of management if they go out in this way. And but I think the players need to stand up and be counted for, and they didn't do that at all last week. So I kind of, it's kind of like I'm not even interested in analysing this game. I just want to see them play to their potential and actually come out and really fight. And it almost needs to be kind of in the most kind of basic way.
Match it just blow.
You know,
blow,
it just needs to be that this week, because they embarrassed themselves last week. And sometimes it doesn't matter what, you know, kind of like tactical matchups there are. They're a good matchup to Limerick.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't care about it. I just want to see them go out and be their very, very best this week. They owe it to people.
Yeah. You don't care about it. PJ, I'm going to ask you a question. Tony Kelly, where would you play him against Limerick this weekend?
Probably in midfield.
I agree with you. Yeah, 100%. Because I 100% agree. I'll tell you why I think that as well. Because when they're trying to play, like, when he's being followed the way he was, he's totally marked out of the game. That's a lot less likely to happen on either Lynch or Donoghue, if that's who the Limerick go ahead with this weekend. So for him to get that kind of freedom that he needs, the only place he's going to get it probably is midfield.
Mm. You want Tony Kelly on as much ball as possible. He didn't get that at the weekend at all, like,
I need you to give me an answer. So, guess the spread.
I'm going to go Limerick minus 4.
Limerick minus 3.
Minus 3, bang on. Wow, yeah. That was impressive.
Well, I just went one lower. I still think that's even a high spread. The one thing going for Clare is that the home advantage has meant nothing in the championship this year, having meant everything last year. And I wonder, does it just mean that little bit more at the moment, given what happened last week? But I don't know.
Leinster Hurling Championship, the other game that's on, Kilkenny-Galway, a game that I can't wait to see. The big question coming into this game, lads, is will Joe line out? So reports in a couple of different places this week that Joe Canning isn't fully fit to actually play, but because of this supposed leadership void that Galway have, they're going to sacrifice the sub basically and put him on the bench and have him there to do the warm-up. Now, he warmed up on the pitch against Wexford in Pearce Stadium, and he's definitely back in training, not to full extent, but they spent the weekend in Carlton House recently, and so he's back involved in training, but not to the full capacity, but he's coming close to fitness. But it's an interesting question, though, whether or not he should actually be there, just for leisure perspectives, and you drop a sub. Like, at the same time, surely this is the period where you try and figure out if there is any other leaders, and by bringing him back in, maybe that's an acceptance that there isn't.
I don't know how much you actually gain by him just having, like, a jersey number, like. Really? I mean, surely he's going to be around the team anyway, exerting some influence. And I don't
sitting
see what
with Donaghy in the box, looking at the screens.
Well, he's going to be in the dressing room. There's nothing stopping him being down on the pitch for the warm-up. Like, I mean, what do you actually gain by giving him number 26?
Did Kerry do that with Gooch when he came back from the
2014 All-Ireland final? Me and Donny, who works here, was sitting like about 12 rows in front of the Kerry bench and spent the majority of the match looking behind us to see this Gooch warming up. We were bloody obsessed and we ended up missing half the game. And to answer PJ's point, I just, like, there was a slight part of me during that game was wondering, are the Donegal bench doing the same thing here? You know, this was
height
of his powers, Gooch. You didn't know what way he was going to come back. Like, you know, it's like, was there any... Maybe it was slightly after height of his powers, but, you know, he still was the man at the time and the way Joe is for Galway. And were they kind of wondering whether this is a go or not that we have to plan for him? That's my only possible explanation, because I don't know what else it would be like.
Yeah, if you're Kilkenny, I don't know how much you actually put out by Joe being wearing number 26. You know he's probably not fit, and that what could he play at the most, like 10 minutes, even if he does?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it affects Kilkenny whatsoever.
I'd be surprised if he actually does play. I'd love to see them trust in this youth that we kind of thought we were going to play against Wexford end up being dropped. There's kind of question marks over Jack Grealish's fitness. If he is fit, I think he should play. I think Nyland from the under-21s last year had an absolute stormer in the Fitzgibbon at a game earlier this year when I watched him play. He hit 11 points. I'd love to see him get a chance in forwards as well. I don't think it's going to happen. A game, not necessarily a must win, but pretty damn
not
close.
Not far off. Yeah. If you have like a, you know, an injured, unfit Harry Kane playing 90 minutes versus the guy who got you the hat-trick in the semi-final.
Yeah.
You know, I mean that. Like, there's an element of, like, Galway need Joe Canning and he's their leader and I'm not suggesting that there's anything but love for him in there, but it can't be good for the confidence and morale of a team if they're clearly so desperate to bring back a guy who isn't ready to be there.
Yeah, you know? I agree. Can you tell me the spread?
Yeah. Where is it?
It's on in Autumn Park.
Yeah, Kilkenny minus one.
Oh, I've gone Galway minus one.
It's Kilkenny minus two.
Wow.
That's wide.
Ooh. I'd be interested in a bit of Galway in that one now, I have to say. Yeah. But I do. I had a feeling Kilkenny would be favourites.
Right.
Would you look at Galway?
Yeah, I would definitely have a look at Galway, look.
Finally.
4-0 here, PJ.
I have this tendency to come very close to the spreads, but not quite.
Yeah.
Not quite
on the money,
yeah. Kilkenny are missing some players as well. They still are missing Owen Murphy. I think Killian Buckley is still out. Or he might be back, but I think Owen Murphy is a massive, massive loss.
Yeah.
He's the best goalkeeper in hurling.
Yeah.
And you could see in that first half against Dublin in particular, when Darren Brennan was bombing long puck outs on top of that Dublin half back line. And when we were told apparently he was going to be doing the opposite, that he was, no, he's going, we talked about playing him short, and it wasn't until that second half when they came out and he started playing him short that the game kind of changed for Kilkenny.
Yeah.
So I do wonder, you know, he's up against Galway now, an even better team than Dublin. Is he going to have similar kind of jitters about these puckouts? Yeah.
Yeah. And all respect, sorry, I know we do have to move on, but all respect to Dublin. And, you know, obviously not really to Carlo, but this is the first, tipper lighting up the Munster Championship. And there's always that fear after every revolution year that we just go back to Tip and Kilkenny. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see where Kilkenny are in that kind of... We haven't a clue yet.
Yeah,
we really don't. Because they're not going to raise themselves unless they're playing Galway or Wexford.
As a god, yeah. Speaking of Wexford, Carlo, PJ, I want to give me your one sentence analysis and your answer for a guess the spread here.
One sentence analysis. I would expect Wexford still have a good chance of going through. I would expect them to win this game. If they win this game, they're on 4 points, and Dublin are on three. Dublin's final game is against Galway.
Yeah.
Even though they're home, I don't think they're going to beat Galway at Parnell Park. So Wexford win this, they're true. That's not one sentence. it's Wexford minus eight.
I think it'll be minus 11.
Is that your answer?
Yeah.
It's minus 12.
Oh.
5-0. We're going to the John McDonagh Cup.
5-0.
This is to save PJ, we're going to his expert subject. Kerry Hurlers playing Laois. A game that has massive ramifications not only for Kerry but also for the entire league, effectively. Mick, you're off here?
Yeah. I thought PJ was, and I have to be honest, Morris, I don't know what match we're talking about.
I
zoned out.
I can talk about Kerry Laois.
It's Kerry Laois. Sorry, of course. This is as big as it gets if Kerry win off Laois down. Laois best team so far by a good bit, but Kerry surprised Westmeath. That's kind of my analysis of it. But if you have more to say as a Kerry man, PJ, I'd be interested to hear it as I think up what the spread should be.
This is Kerry could win. They've got two home games left in the John McDonagh Cup. This one and next week in Stoffley, they could win it. I mean, they could go into a final. As in football, I'm going to play down Kerry's chances here. I'm going to be a good Kerry man here. I was on Radio Kerry a few weeks ago, and I played down Kerry's chances of winning the All-Ireland football title. And I'd say my father was at home next to the radio thinking, geez, I brought him up.
The proudest he's ever been here. Like.
And yeah, I think this Laois, this is a really good Laois team. Eddie Byrne's doing a great job with them. I'm going to say Laois minus two.
That's actually a pretty good one. I'd fancy Kerry to win it, but in this game we're thinking about what the bookies say. And God, I'm after going off in a full daydream there about Kerry winning the Joe McDonagh and having to play Waterford in a playoff.
Which would be amazing, yeah.
Especially if Waterford have this thing of like their season's over on Saturday, and suddenly they have to come back in 3 or 4 weeks and play this playoff when they're in absolute like meltdown. 93 all over again, then it could, like, something mad could happen there, you know. I will say that if you said Laois minus two, I'll say Laois minus one.
It's minus four, which is very generous.
Mark, BJ.
That game is on GA now. One battle well worth watching is going to be Shane Conroy, who's probably going to be Ryan Mullaney, who we all heard amazing things about already this year. If for that alone, it's definitely worth watching. The other game,
3 o'clock Saturday, is it? Just for if, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. The other game in the Joe McDonagh Cup is Antrim Westmeath. A really interesting game, especially for Westmeath, who kind of really need to bounce back here. Who team who openly had aspirations to win it and kind of had them pulled up in front of one defeat by Kerry. The spread, Mick.
PJ's go for the spread, isn't it? Oh, did we swap?
Yeah.
Okay. I will say. Oh, that's. You stole my goal the last time.
No, I didn't. It was my goal.
No, it was mine. But anyway, we're switched back now. So I will say Westmeath minus two.
Oh, Antrim at home. I'm going Antrim minus one.
Bang on, he's back in it. 5-3.
5-3 now.
I would love it if Cork beat them. Yeah. Also, can we talk about the fact that we're walking out to Dan, one of them turned to the other one. Ashford's great to be back in Division 1.
I've kept really quiet, but I'll tell you something. He went down in my estimation when he said that. We have not resorted to that.
Let Cork beat them and then Cameron Tipperary goal.
But I'll tell you, you can tell him now if you're watching it, we're still fighting for this title.
And I'll tell you now, they're still fighting for this title. And they've got to go Cork and get something.
And he's got to go to Middlesbrough and get something.
I think they're at home against Cork.
We just say things like that. They're at home against Cork there.
And I'll tell you, honestly, I will love it if we beat them. Love it.
I would love it if Cork beat them.
Love it.
Love it.
Love it.
Love it.
Love it.
Ulster Championship, Tyrone Donegal. What a game. I cannot wait for this. So I think about this game, right? There's two ways you can think about it. If Tyrone adhere to their new kind of three-pronged attack, which is keeping McShane and Donnelly up the field, having Frank Burns definitely on centre-back because he's such a good kick pass to the ball, and keeping Sludden and Tierney McCann wide, these kind of what we call wingers or flyers, or I think actually Sean Cavan in his book said that Tyrone called them flankers. Then I think they'll beat Donegal if they adhere to that attacking protocol. But if Mickey Hart becomes more conservative and decides to pull Donnelly out the field or does something different with McShane, then I'd give Donegal a massive chance. The only reason that I think that Tyrone can win is because their matchups could be perfect. Neil McGee would probably take McShane. I'd fancy McShane there, to be honest. You'd looking at somebody like McBrearty and how they're going to stop him, and then you think about the job Park Hampsey did all throughout last year, and then somebody as well in the other corner like Michael McKernan, who can probably take Jamie Brennan. That's two good matchups. You'd back both of them there. As I mentioned, Frank Burns inside the centre there would kind of do huge damage. And then, you know, you talk about these flyers like McHugh and Owen Gallagher, but Tyrone have loads of them as well, especially people like McCann. Burns is well able to get up the field. Peter Hart, obviously, especially if he goes further on, as we hope he will. So for that reason, I lean towards Tyrone, but that is totally predicated on the fact that they adhere to what we saw against Derry and Antrim and throughout the league and not go back to the Tyrone of old, which is one out attacker and playing Cullum Cavan as a sweeper, and suddenly then it becomes a lot more of a lottery, and I'd fancy Donegal.
I can't see why. Going back to that more defensive system would just be a retrograde move here. That,
yeah.
I mean, if people are thinking of them as greater All-Ireland contenders this year than they were last year, and they got to an All-Ireland final. I can't see why you would play that system against those other teams and then move back to that defensive system now. This Donegal team, they're vulnerable, I think, in a full back line.
Yeah.
And if you play more attacking, I think you've more of a chance of exploiting those vulnerabilities. I'm going to say Tyrone minus two.
I watched Tyrone against Antrim, right? Believe it or not. And it's kind of irrelevant, except to, because Antrim are so bad, except to say that Tyrone were scintillating.
Yeah.
Bloody great to watch. Now, again, they were kind of playing against nobody. So it's kind of like, oh, what would you do against 15 broomsticks? Like, and that's harsh on Antrim, sorry. But, you know, like, as in, they could do what they want. They were such a level above. But it's like, I'd love to see them play like that a little bit more. And I know you're hinting at that they could. But, like, you know, even Peter Hart, you never even mentioned there in that role where he's just, like, running that guys down through the middle, you know what I mean? And it's just full-on attacking as well, not having to worry, which was always the best part of his game anyway, and not having to worry about the rest of it. Like, I'd love to see them play like that, and if they do, I kind of agree with you. I think that they'd probably have too much for Donegal. I think they could just overrun them, and they're just a better team at this moment in time. I just don't trust Mickey Hart to do that. The chips are down, and you know, I think he'll look at this as a Ulster semi-final against the they'll think of it as the de facto Ulster final, the two best teams in the province, and those games aren't won by, you know, going a little bit more positive. They're won by being dogged and getting down and dirty and winning the battles, you know. So that'd be my concern. In terms of I like Tyrone minus two, but I'll just drop it to Tyrone minus one to not match PJ.
We're all level. It's Tyrone minus two.
Fair enough. Couldn't do much about that.
Five all.
What a comeback.
From 5-0 down.
But there's about 412 games to go, PJ, so it was always an early lead.
The other game, the Ulster Football Championship, the replay, Cavan Armagh, a game you'd hope would rise in terms of quality, but in terms of entertainment value, you'd hope it gets right. Huge game for Cavan in terms of what they're going to do with their matchups. They have to get more out of McKernan. Mark said earlier in the week that he might have been the victim of a bug bite which sapped him, and if that's true, then you'd love to see him bounce back. Same with Martin Riley, have to see more out of them, and that is again predicated on who they match up against. Like, I thought Armagh, like, McGeaney's actually he's a lot more tactically astute than I think he might get credit for. The fact that the way he played kind of forcing Cavan to build up as opposed to letting them go long, that meant he didn't have to play a sweeper and could actually play this kind of really mobile middle third that he likes so much. All of this doesn't matter in terms of guess the spread.
Who's me? I will say Cavan minus one.
Aidan Farker did an incredible job on Martin Riley the last day.
Yeah.
He just locked him down. I think Riley had something like 30 possessions against Monaghan. I don't know what it was against Armagh, but it was nothing near that. They need to get him on the ball. I think this is a super close game. I think this is a scratch. I think this is a scratch game.
Yeah.
No spread. The answer is Cavan minus one.
Oh, back into a 2.8. Sometimes a replay, by the way, is a kind of a, you know, you're talking about that matchup with Faulkner and Riley. Like, there's sometimes it can be about coaches and managers and how you kind of figure things out in a week. And we kind of, I think, at this stage know how good a manager McGeaney is. So it's kind of, this is a sort of a good test, you know.
For Mickey Graham,
to see kind of where he kind of sits in the, you know, because we all, obviously he's one of those people that's coming in with the big reputation now into kind of intercounty, and we kind of think that he's going to be the man. And I'd be just very interested to see if Cavan have an answer to some of those things that Armagh kind of stifled him on last week.
Yeah, and you'd hope as well that Armagh won't be a sitting target either. Like, you'd like to see, depending on Andrew Murray coming more back to fitness, maybe he comes back in as well. Depends. I mean, the thing with bringing off Campbell and bringing him back on, personally, in a game like that, I just wouldn't start him and just have him as that impact sub after 20 minutes instead. But
I kind of trust McGeaney to figure it out a bit. And now let's see what Graham can bring to it now.
I think a big factor in this game is going to be the weather. It was awful. Like, it was windy. There was rain in that first game. That really affected Cavan. That had a negative impact on Cavan. Cavan want to kick the ball now. Cavan kicked the ball way more than they did last year. And because of those weather conditions, they couldn't.
Yeah.
So if the weather is a bit better, it'll perhaps like allow them to have that more expansive style.
I don't know about Saturday night for Donegal and Tyrone, but it doesn't look good on Sunday because, well, I'm obviously going to the other side of the country for Limerick and all, but it does look like it's going to be like a weather warning type of... That was as a couple of days ago anyway, so hopefully they're a little bit out.
Leinster Football Championship. The semi-finals are on this weekend. Interesting to see. This is one of the very first times that Dublin played in the semi-final, not on live television. We'll start with that game, actually. Dublin-Kildare. Kildare, who needed a replay to get over Longford, have kind of been stumbling through their year. Jimmy Hyland came off not looking in the best confidence. Obviously don't have Flynn involved this year. On the plus sides, you've got somebody like Ben McCormack, who I'm a massive fan of, left the panel last year after the league because he was doing some work out over in Sligo, now playing at centre forward and looks a total revelation. That's probably not going to be enough against Dublin. I want you to tell me what the spread is.
Paul Cribben also, I'm like a major. I thought he was brilliant last year.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. He's a really good footballer. Another one of those lads who came back from AFL, I think. Huge loss as well. Like someone who get on most inter-county teams, I would think. Kildare be doing well to stay within single figures in this game. Like really well. I think that'd be like, you could nearly consider that a kind of a moral victory for them.
That's the reality. Like it really is. Yeah.
I had thought -10, but I'm actually going to go bigger. I'm going to say -12.
You can't be far off. Like, that's my entire analysis of this game was that Kildare can come out with a game plan, they can execute that perfectly, and they can play well so much so that we're talking about it, you know, halfway through the match, that, geez, Kildare are really giving it a go here. And me and you were at the Leinster final last year, PJ, and Leash did exactly that. And we talked about all the way through about how, you know, they are doing everything right here. And still, Dublin just wear you down so much and just tap away until you're 15 points down. And I don't think it's impossible for any team outside of the top four or five to ever get within 10 points of them at the moment. I just think that's because of the way they play and the way they wear you down. So I'd have to say -12 is a great shout. I will go, just because I think that bookies will generally be a bit more conservative, I'll say -11, but I think the difference in the margin will be bigger.
It's -14.
Oh, right, okay, fair enough. They haven't figured out what this is.
They've copped on, yeah.
Kildare aren't getting that historic kind of
tag,
they aren't getting historic reputation. Credit anymore.
Right? Yeah, like the Kildare versus the Dubs. Like, there is a kind of a, like, the Leinster Championship is, you know, Meath Leash in one semi-final, Dublin Kildare in another. Sounds like it should be bloody brilliant this year, doesn't it? It's like, this is exactly what you want, the four titans of Leinster football. And it's like, no, sorry, there's just one.
You mentioned the other two. Meath and Leash is the other game on this weekend. A Meath team who flattered to see against Offaly and then looked amazing against Carlow. It's hard to know what to make of either of those results, actually. Coming off really good league form. Leash, in a weird enough situation, was a huge amount of kind of hype at the start of the year about John Sucrew and people like Evan O'Carroll, who looks like an amazing footballer on the inside, and what they're doing there. And then a poor enough league final, and similarly kind of a poor enough result, but still beating Westmeath after that in kind of an okay-ish game. The spread, lads.
I thought it was. I mean, Westmeath were favourites.
I was going to say, I thought that was a good win.
I mean, like, that was a good win for them.
It was a terrible result in bad weather, or two teams playing pretty poor football. Mm.
I've got this Meath -2.
Yeah, like promoted from Division 3 versus promoted from Division 2 is kind of most of what we have to go off. Like, you know, obviously Meath, we've seen them a couple of times. I will, PJ keeps, I was supposed to go first there. For Morris, you're going to have to keep a better eye on this.
You got to do what you got to do to win.
Meath -3.
It's -2.
That's, come on now. This is, I could blame PJ, but I choose to blame you instead.
you could have said the same answer.
Well, it was my goal to say -2 in the first place.
Right, the qualifiers.
PJ takes the lead there, by the way, with a 2-pointer. Up a point? 8-7, yeah.
Offaly London. This is a weird game.
True enough, Offaly -4.
How do you see this one going, Mick?
Offaly -4.
I think this is way bigger. London playing outside Fortress
Roislip.
McGovern Park. Why is it called Fortress Roislip? Why isn't it called Fortress McGovern Park? I'm going to say Offaly -7.
-7 is bang on.
Here. Okay.
Tables have turned.
They really have.
Leitrim Wicklow. Interesting to see that Terry Hyland speaking during the week said that Emile Mulligan, we spoke about this on the podcast earlier this year about Emile Mulligan walking off the panel and not really getting any answer as to what happened there. There's been an innocent enough explanation. He's been blighted by injuries. Fitness isn't really there for him, and he just did it for recovery. I mean, the door is open for him to come back whenever, really. But this is a guy who's had like two cruciate injuries, had a couple of different knee and ankle issues as well, and just needed a break, basically.
Yeah.
I find the sponsorship names of various intercounty grounds infinitely amusing. And Avantcard Park Sean McDermott is, I think it's number one. Yeah. Like, if when Sean McDermott was in the GPO, like, I think he might have just like walked out and given up if he'd known what was coming. Like,
yeah, the biggest travesty since poor old Dr. Cullen lost his lost his title and they had to use his first name, Netwatch.
Yeah. PJ?
I'm of course, yeah.
Well, he had to. Katrina, go on.
I've got Leitrim minus four.
I'd say it's less than that. Leitrim minus three.
It's minus two.
Right, okay. I'm clawing it back here, 10-8.
Wexford Derry. Wexford without George O'Connor's young lad, who's been confirmed this week, is off to Sydney Swans. A really interesting one. The five. From the trial, the combine trial last November, five players were invited over to Sydney to go on a basically like a 2-week break. So we actually spoke to, this interview's already up on site, we spoke to Rory O'Connor about this at the time, who spoke about his cousin, they're obviously cousins, going over there, and the fact that he was actually really suited to the game already because he'd played so much Gaelic football and rugby as a young lad and he had that kind of skill set. It's something we've seen a lot of recently. Like, he started as a centre forward. He obviously isn't going to play this weekend against Derry because the contract stipulations, he's signed this pro deal, so he's not allowed to play. Obviously, like PJ, down in Kerry, there's a huge amount of mourning about the loss of Stefan Ukubar, who was going to be like the next great fullback, it looked like, until he took off. There's a really good young footballer from Sligo, Luke Towey, who was also over there actually with O'Connor. And there's been a lot of reports that at least one, I think potentially three AFL clubs are interested in him. You've got McQuillan up in Armagh. Like, the numbers are ever increasing. I don't really know how I feel about it, to be honest. It's obviously a really disappointing thing for a team like Wexford, but at the same time, you want to see young lads go and be able to play professional sport, basically.
I mean, like, when Ukubar left, because fullback has been such a problem position for Kerry for so long, and he looked really good with the under-20s, that kind of summer before he left, that I was kind of hurting at the time that Mark O'Connor, who would be he'd be brilliant in midfield for Kerry if he was still there.
He's flying with Geelong this year, yeah.
But like, outside of that, when I can put my, how I feel, you know, like my kind of Kerry bias there outside of it, I kind of think that it's only a good thing. And we always said this before, that the J is there for like the betterment of Irish society. And if it can give young lads the chance to go abroad and kind of play like, this chance to achieve a dream and play professional sport, I think it's only a good thing. Like,
yeah.
It can only be a good thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
And especially if you're from a county like Wexford or Sligo, and it's no disrespect, but what are you going to get out of that? Like, you know, and you get like the memories and the joy of playing for county, but you're not going to get any glory. And you get to go over and actually exist in a meritocracy where you could be signed from other clubs. And the other side of it then, I would say, is that, you know, for most of these guys, they're going to be gone for 2 or 3 years, have 2 or 3 brilliant years, come back as better footballers because they'll have the brain of a professional athlete who'll have that kind of coaching, and have that different perspective and that different kind of physicality, and they'll come back as better footballers, and it'll be to the betterment of their county. And then those who don't are going to go and make it as superstars and be kind of international Irish superstars, or Irish superstars on an international level. And sure, that's something we like, is brilliant. And it only happens to about 1 in 10 max of the guys who actually go and sign professionally. Like.
And it feels like a lot of the people who actually give out about it. I remember, Mick, we spoke to Zach Toohey last year, and he made what I thought was a really clever point. Like, he asked the question, where are these people who are, these coaches who are so hurt by the fact that they raised a lad from a young lad and he's gone off to become a professional athlete? Like, every single person he meets in Port Laois is proud. It's a badge of honor that they helped make a pro athlete, a guy who is, you know, running up incredible scoring records and consecutive appearances for Geelong. Like, there's no bitterness about the fact that they helped create that. Like, he feels like that might be projected from maybe elsewhere, which I think is a fair point. That was a weird tangent to get down for for the qualifier game.
Now back to this Wexford
Derry in Wexford Park, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, but Wexford at home.
You'd have to say Derry would have a healthy enough advantage there. Derry minus four.
Yeah, Derry were pretty good against Tyrone.
Winning up until the last 15 minutes, yeah.
They played some nice football as well. They created a really good goal. Derry minus three. I think.
Minus four is bang on, Mick.
Oh, it's 10 all, PJ. How many more qualifiers do we have? 17 or 18?
We've got five games left. Loud Antrim. PJ.
I have this down as Drogheda, I think. Yeah.
Loud at home.
Loud at home, yeah. Loud minus two. Antrim actually looked pretty. I mean, like,
you watched Antrim recently, Mick.
They look decent. I mean, I know they got hammered, but they look like they're capable of playing some nice football.
I think in the second half, Tyrone had kind of given them free rein, like it was a sort of a free for all, and they obviously could play nice football then. I don't know if Loud are going to give them much more. Poor old Loud. Like, both of these teams came up against teams that were just too good for them. Like, in a different league, shouldn't they have even been playing against them? And, you know, then they draw each other in the qualifiers, which is kind of incredible. Yeah, yeah. You know, you would think. And Antrim did give a better account of themselves versus Tyrone than Loud did against Dublin. Then again, I think Dublin are better set up to destroy these teams than Tyrone would be. I think it'll be close. Loud were decent in Division 3 this year. I think because of what happened to Dublin, I think I'm putting them into the same boat as a kind of a Division 4 team. They were in Division 2 last year. I think they're probably at a different level than Antrim, and they're at home. Loud minus 3.
That's impressive.
Is it?
Yeah, bang on.
I somehow worked it out.
wild swings.
I nearly had Antrim winning that match for a minute there because they played better against Throne than Loud played against them.
Monaghan, Fermanagh, if ever there was a banker for under 24 points.
Yeah, this match is the curtain raiser for the Cavan Armagh replay as well, so it's going to be played in an absolutely jam-packed Clonus, which is mad for a qualifier. Yeah.
It's weird. It's a hard one to really pick out because Monaghan started with so much promise. Like, I can remember watching that Dublin game and Jack McCarron looked so good and McManus was on fire.
O'Hanlon
was brilliant. Yeah, fielding balls over the head of Michael Fitzsimons that day as well. And then suddenly they were coming dangerously close to being relegated. Kind of flattered to deceive an Ulster as well. Fermanagh, who did what Fermanagh do against Donegal and will do it again against Monaghan.
I'm up first, am I?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is not a game I have to say I'd look forward to watching, but it is actually somewhat intriguing. Actually,
I agree.
It's a good matchup for a qualifier. Again, I don't think there'll be many scores. And I think maybe if you go into it, if you are going to that match, you go into it with that kind of expectation that it's just a different sport than you're used to watching and kind of enjoy it for what it is. Something I've found hard to do, but I am trying to kind of get back in the good graces of the Fermanagh people after my last display, I would say, after the Donegal match.
Is it true you're banned from Inniskillen?
I am.
Ireland's only island.
I can't, I mean, Lochearn would spit me back out, I think. I am going to go for Monaghan minus two.
Oh, I actually have it written down here. I have Monaghan minus four.
Oh, wow. I think that's too big.
Minus four is bang on.
Oh, what?
Oh, back in the game.
12 all. What a match.
I think I deserve credit for not going conservative there and going minus three.
Yeah, fair play to you. Yeah.
Down Tipperary. This is an interesting game because Tipperary were obviously a lot worse than people might have perceived them to be against Limerick. Down were actually kind of good and probably could have beaten Armagh.
Should have beaten him. I mean,
given that Mooney got sent off, he's obviously missing for this game. It's interesting, right? I heard Paddy Talley speaking during the week there. I think it might have been the Irish News, but I'm not actually sure. But he openly said this is an absolute must-win game for their season. Otherwise, their season is basically a disaster. Also made an interesting point. One thing I don't think they probably got enough credit for against Armagh. In the entirety of that game, of the players that Down played, 12 were making their first championship appearance. Like, it's a total overhaul what he's doing. So we look at it and we see Mooney or Donald O'Hare and I think these old veterans, but beyond that he's actually trying to rebuild as well towards something else, and he got tired with the defensive brush and actually played some decent football. I 100% agree with him. It is a game that they have to win.
That game against Armada, they were down to 40 men for, I'd say, more after than half.
Well, 25 minutes Mooney got sent off for the high shoulder,
Within the first half, anyway.
Yeah.
And I think they lost their keeper then to a black card, and young lad, the kind of guy he came on for his debut, he was, I think he looked a little bit nervous and...
Understandably, yeah.
Yeah, like, Armada got like 1-2 kind of off his poor kickouts, which kind of, that, taking that into consideration for how well they played in that game, plus that, I think Down deserve, they're looking like a good team. I got to say, Down -4 for this game.
So this is in Newry, is it?
Down at home.
What about Tip, though? Like, I mean, what are we to make of them? Like, I mean, I don't think...
It's hard to know.
They've gone backwards, obviously, right, in a real way. Like, in a way that, like, isn't reversible this week. But that's not that much that's, like, they're losing to Limerick. Like, I don't understand what happened there, you know? And... We obviously didn't see the game. It wasn't on TV or anything like that. But it was probably as big a surprise as you're going to get in the championship, you know? So, like, there is a chance. Like, if that game hadn't happened and Tip were just magically in the qualifiers, you'd fancy this to be a close game. But it's very hard to discount it, you know? And, like, you'd have to have Down favourites. But I just don't know how much better they are than Tip. Again, was that a one-off? I really don't know. If I was betting on it, though, you might take another chance on Tip, you know? So I'd say maybe Down -2.
It's -1.
Yeah, I think that's...
That was a good instinct, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
What's the score there?
13-12 to me.
Two games left, two massive games.
Oh, this is going to be... It's going to go down to the last one unless I get 2-0 here.
Carlo Longford. Longford probably coming off with some credit after their last performance. Carlo definitely not. I think they'd be really disappointed with that. It's obviously not ideal having Murphy, Poacher and O'Brien all up in the stands when you've got that much suspensions. Especially when, and something to go back to what we spoke about on Monday, Mick, their coaches have such a direct impact on their actual style of play to the extent where they're running on to give them instructions and then you visibly see them change them up. So when they're not there, now I know there's ways and means of communicating beyond that, but even still, where they're not there.
Does it free up the players in the way talking about this on Monday, saying that why did it take Stephen Poacher to run on? So maybe there's a message beforehand saying, lads, if this isn't working, we're not there for you today. And it's kind of, it's Gene Hackman, which I was talking about a couple of weeks ago, I think. No, it was off air, yeah.
Hoosiers, the basketball movie. Yeah.
In Hoosiers, like, you know, of purposely getting himself in trouble to give the other coach a chance to step up. But maybe the boys are purposely getting themselves in trouble to give the players a little bit more responsibility and going, you know, and actually stepping up a little bit here, which is a bit of the theme of this week a little bit, isn't it? It's like, you know, players do need to kind of take these things on themselves and make some decisions themselves and not just rely on the overcoaching that's been happening.
Yeah, and like I agree with you, but I don't see that happening because I think if Carlo were to adapt, like when I was watching the game last weekend, we spoke about McVitie on Monday. The one player that McVitie reminds me of a lot is Daniel St. Ledger, because Daniel St. Ledger is just as good a finisher. People might not realize it, but he is. He's an absolutely outrageous forward. He's got 2 feet and he'll run for you all day. But Daniel St. Ledger is deployed as that kind of half forward / third midfielder who's going to drop back the whole time. His inclination is to get back ahead of the ball, as opposed to playing him up alongside Broderick or something like that. That would have been, I think, is a much more fruitful partnership. But that's not going to happen. And like he won't take the onus on himself to go and play a full forward because it's such a clear defiance of instruction. Like there's ways in and around that maybe instead of hand passing across, you try and kick pass. But that level of defiance, I just don't see happening.
Yeah. No, absolutely not. Like, but I mean, even in smaller ways, like kickouts or
the
way people make themselves available for kickouts, which is sometimes you blame the goalkeeper more than the runners and so on and so forth. But there needs to be a lot of those kind of like, this isn't working. This guy's marking me. He's always here. I need to go somewhere else. Sorry, is it my go? Nobody remembers.
It's absolute chaos here.
Yeah.
It's 13-12.
Bloody first round of the qualifiers. Disaster. You know, we've a rookie ref here. Sure, you take it there, PJ, if you want.
That Longford Kildare game, I mean, a classic, they had their chance the first day.
Yeah.
Carlo at home here, but I think Longford are a better team. Longford -1.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to go higher. I was really happy there, but I like that. I like Long. You'd be very worried about Longford's 3 weeks in a row itis. You know, after kind of the disappointment of losing to Kildare. But then again, they would have expected to lose. It would have been a bonus to win. So, like, they can probably, the qualifiers should be used as a kind of a, you know, a fillip to them rather than, you know, the kind of a consolation as it is for some counties. I'll say Longford minus two. I would have went minus one though.
Minus two is bang on.
Oh, he's clinched it.
Oh, dead rubber final game.
If I had gone first there and said minus one, would you have gone minus two?
I would have gone minus two, yeah.
Right, Westmeath and Waterford. Mick.
Did you say this was a big game?
It was in the context of the, guess
the competition, right? Yeah. Okay, now it feels like a damn squib to end it on. Westmeath minus five.
I think, wait, too low. I'm going to Waterford have a 46-year-old goalkeeper.
They only lost by a point, declare it.
Look, yeah, and they didn't concede a goal, to be fair.
I think it was 9-8, though.
I don't think Clare scored after, like, the 15 minutes.
Yeah, they went 39 minutes without a score. Really. I go Westmeath minus seven.
Minus seven is bang on.
Oh, the glory of a one-point victory. 15-14. The highest scored, best of spreads of all time.
That's no consolation to us over here. Look, a loss is a loss. Really, like it.
Well, look, I'm a two-week champion, Morris. I think you're going to have to take me on next week.
Next week, yeah. Enjoy the games this weekend. We'll be back on Monday to review them all and obviously back to preview them the following week. Take it easy.
Not them all. Not the proviso. We're not reviewing them all. I have to be honest with you. Don't listen to him. I'm putting it out. I'll set you straight here. We'll talk about three or four of them.